You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's do this thing. Before he even says let's go, we're going.
Go.
6:06 in the morning.
Go.
Ozzy, I told you. Stop it.
Oh.
Hey, we got a big show today, a Wednesday show. We have 6:30, bottom of the hour, our good friend Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News. And then at right at the top of the hour in 7 Ed, we do have Mike Zinkin, former Oro Valley Town Council being, who has a lot of issues with you people, like Frank Costanza.
Yeah.
The budget in Oro Valley, the town manager.
Jeez.
I mean, He's going to have the it's going to be flying at a little after 7. And then Food Wednesday, brought to you by our friends at Visit Tucson. It's called The Blind Pig. It's over, I believe, in Kolb and Broadway, somewhere in there.
We'll find out.
So we got a blind pig coming up for food.
It's radio, so it's
Food Friday. I saw on Facebook that the Dante's Fire, Ken, actually is opening his dining room.
Excellent.
So, again, another dining. Again, when you're finding these dining rooms opening up in the in the core of Tucson, this is an important thing, because that's what we're figuring out in all of this, right? Is that the closer you get to the U of A, the more you're going to have people who don't want to
stay home.
They want to stay home.
Oh, heck no. We were down at the university. They don't want, they're yelling. There was a group of girls walking down University Boulevard yelling at illegal Pete's, going, "Why aren't you open?" and they walked by and went to the next
place.
How
old were they?
College students.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying the intelligentsia of that area.
Yes.
I'm going to do a new map. It's called the concentric circles of self-righteousness, right? It's going to start right at Old Main, and then it'll do, you know, here's 2 miles around that. That's the highest level of self-righteousness. And then we'll go a little bit further out, then the self-righteousness weakens a little bit.
Yeah. Little.
Right.
Pretty.
But that is the self-righteous Bermuda Triangle of it all.
Good point.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So the idea that Ken's a couple of miles from the U of A opening up a dining room. Wow. That's a big news. Because I have business owners who are in that core who are saying right now that things are amazingly tough.
Mm.
For some people, sorry, the takeout delivery thing's okay. But for a lot, it's not.
So okay, once in a while, yeah.
No, I mean as your business model.
Oh, I know. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, friend Tony, on Sunday or Monday over the went to the new wine place, Pastino, is it? It's right around the corner from Dante's Fire. You know, that big thing. He said it was very nice. It was very packed. And they sat at the bar. So there's 2 bar seats. And then the third one is roped off. And then there's 2 bar seats. So you can actually sit with your spouse or date or whatever. So that's how they're doing it, which is how they should do it.
Don't tell Valadez, man. Him and Rahina are going to go down there.
Rahina, yeah.
They're going to shame you. Get the shame crew going. So, all right, we got a lot of things to do today. First of all, we're gonna have a little fun with Brian Brennan, who's a reporter for KGUN9.
Huh.
We're
really?
Yes.
Okay.
Then,
yeah, of course, yes.
And I have a music request we're gonna play underneath. I don't know if we've ever played this song on Wake Up Tucson, but we're gonna do it for Brian Brennan.
Okay.
We are going to do other stuff today.
Good. There's plenty to do here, and nothing's getting fixed, so it'll keep us busy till at least November. Anybody seen anything get fixed?
What does that mean?
Well, anything in this town.
Sure.
Nothing. Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Things are getting fixed all the time.
Good.
So we're going to do Brian Brennan's
piece. I'm looking at the weeds on the way up on Alvernon, where the Doubletree and Randolph, the best golf courses in town, and HSL and all this stuff, and Elkhorn, there's weeds.
That wasn't getting done. COVID or
I know both
not COVID.
Both sides of the street in the median. Who cares? You know, lodge in the desert. It all. It's yeah.
We're gonna give you a. Andy Biggs and Rand Paul wrote an article together for USA Today called "Anthony Fauci Wants America Closed Until There's Nothing Left to Reopen."
Thank you.
which will tie into my one I didn't get to yesterday called The Brilliant Ones are Still Baffled. Now, a thing that's been going on Facebook, Ed, you know, there's these things that happen. People say, oh, we want you to post 9 pictures of the kids that you're so proud of or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the new one in the last 10 days is, I was tagged by blank to give you every day my top 10 albums of all time.
Right,
which is
right.
cute.
That's
cute.
Going around,
okay.
Yes.
So what I have my new one. I was asked by a friend of mine to name the top 10 biggest failures of leadership in the Pima County region.
Yeah.
So we're going to give
That's
you.
I'm
going to give you number 10 coming up today. We'll do that. Then we're going to do some news about COVID on the Navajo Nation, which has been a hotspot in Arizona. Of course, we're going to bring back Miss Cleo and Dionne Warwick again.
Yay!
The big one in the 7 o'clock hour, and this is a chart I just put up on my Facebook page at Christopher D. Simone called, this is from the Washington Times, it's an op-ed called, You're Not Going to Die from COVID-19.
Wow.
And then we're going to go through...
You didn't put that on Facebook, did you?
I did. Oh, there. I already have...
you're such a baiter.
So this is from sources, CDC and U.S. Census. And I'm going to give you the probability of dying of all causes for different age groups. And then the probability of dying from COVID-19 as of May 16th data. Okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about what's really going to happen with Joe Biden.
Really?
We'll talk about that.
Weekend at Bernie's.
We got one of those locally. We'll talk about that, too. What else do we got here today? We have... This is John Carney at Breitbart. It's called America's Economy Slowly Coming Back to Life, and we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about how the three Republicans at the state legislature yesterday jumped in with the Democrats just to get nothing done. They sat on 30 bills that were sent over by the House. And there was the discussion of doing one that would provide liability for businesses in relation to COVID.
Yep.
And three Republicans jumped on with the Democrats. It was a 20-minute session by the state senators yesterday.
That was it?
Oh, we'll talk about it.
Ooh.
We'll talk about it. And what else do we got to do? We're going to talk about proxy voting at the House of Representatives in D.C. That's something we'll definitely talk with Schweikert tomorrow. And then we got a couple of amazing letters to the editor we're going to share that Billy number 2 just sent in this morning. So
great.
Just to give you a little more of flavor, give me the flavor of the nutballs in the self-righteous concentric circle.
At the U of A. Right near the U of A. Oy, oy, oy.
So Ed Alexander, yeah. Christopher D. Simone, you're on Wake Up Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Let's go. Oh, the funky version of
I guess
in crowd.
Oh,
wake
got
up.
All boy.
Ramsey Lewis's birthday today. Love Ramsey Lewis. Wake up, Ed Alexander. Good get by Mr. Yenser getting the spaceman on today. Mark Kelly at
very good
9 o'clock. So we'll see what Mr. Kelly has to say. Which, if he sticks to the thing, is just stay positive and say nothing. He's doing exactly the same thing cinema did. Because what happens is they don't have to adjust off of Martha because Martha's doing exactly what she did 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that changes in Martha's thing, of course, is that she's now everything's China. Which is fine, right? But that's her new thing is we're gonna stay heavy on China and you don't have to ask me about anything else. So good friends of the show who they're Martha fans. They want her to win, right? And they said, look, can you at least discuss some of the things that she does well? And I think I have, but maybe I haven't. You know, if you look at her voting record in relation to what's going on, she's very good. She's been there on the judges. She's been there on a lot of different things that has helped this, helped build an economic boom up until COVID. But think about this. I just thought about it, and it's true, right? But on the back end, do you remember one of the things she screwed up on with Kyrsten Sinema is she never talked about voting for the tax cuts and the tax reform? So why the hell wouldn't you do that? See, this is why I'm saying she's probably a very good senator, but she's a weak candidate. And she takes advice from crappy people. So, yeah, she does vote the right way, Martha. But there's got to be two things, right? If you want more, if you really love Martha the candidate, right, you're going to want, you have to have the, sorry, if you really like Martha the senator, excuse me, all right, Martha the candidate has to be not so crappy. So she gets to go back as the senator that you like. That's the problem. So I just thought, so yes, she has done, she's very good on the votes. But on the other side, when she does a great vote like the Tax Reform Act, which has helped a lot of small businesses, has helped a lot of micro businesses and people who are doing, have LLCs and how the flow through worked on your taxes, it's been a benefit for a lot of businesses. But she didn't talk about it when she had a shot against Kyrsten Sinema. So that's the part. It's frustrating. There's some people who say, oh, do you hate Martha? I don't hate Martha. I'm frustrated that she won't do the job as the candidate that's a winning job. That's the problem. So people will say, well, Donald Trump, the Trump train will come through and that will drag her up. How about at the same time, does she drag on independence? If she does the same old uninspiring candidacy, does that get independence that we need in this state to get things going? So again, kudos to Zach for the get of getting Captain Kelly, who I think is I think Mark Kelly's a wastoid. This is where we're at. He's a dangerous wastoid. He's got $31 million in the bank. And he has a great shot of being the next U.S. senator if the other side. And yes, he's got $13 million more than Martha than at the last reporting thing. She needs to step up her game and she needs a change. The idea that what I love is that you guys are all like, because I'm criticizing her inability to change and whatever her handlers in D.C. are telling you, I'm the bad guy. Why am I the bad guy? This is big boy pants time and big girl pants time. I don't have a Me Too thing on my foot. It's a big person pants moment, right? When was the last time we had two Democrat senators? Someone was just telling me this. It's like 1950 something. The last time we had two Democrat senators in Arizona, Hayden and somebody else. Okay. When was that? Right? So there's two things here. We can go to two Democrat senators, and you could lose, the Republicans could lose the Senate because of this race, and Trump could lose Arizona. So as the radio guy, I don't know if you guys know this, my job is I opinionate about everything. Some of you wish I wouldn't. But this is it. Martha, I think, is a good senator. She's a crappy candidate. And the idea that this is the elephant in the room that everyone's all scared to talk about, the problem is she's not hearing it from enough people. Now, I know serious Republican donors who have had this conversation with her. But nothing changes. Nothing changes. Now, next segment, we're going to get to Brian Brennan from KGUN9 with something that could get him an Edward R. Murrow Award. Ow. Kind of a story. So be ready for that. I always like to give you a window in the into the Democrats of Tucson, Arizona, that write to the Daily Star, and this is from a guy in Oral Valley, Michael P. Cuno, C-U-N-O, Cuno. Pima County Administrator Huckleberry lost me halfway through his defense of his everyone back to the office edict. He wrote, taxpayers need to be assured they're getting a full day's work from a public employee. In some cases, teleworking can make this hard to verify this. And then that's the quote. Then this guy says, talk about an out-of-date management model. With intelligent management, employees of any enterprise, private or public, should understand the duties they're responsible to perform and the deliverables expected of them. They either meet the objectives or they don't. Management hovering over them is not the point. If Huckleberry cannot tell whether employees are performing by their output or lack thereof, he's providing over a deeply flawed management model. that, not telework, is the issue. Now, that's an interesting point, right? Do we feel like the Pima, we're getting the most out of our Pima County employees?
Huh.
Some yes, some no. But please, I don't any of you ever start a sentence with me is that most people can telework just as well as they can at the office. Horse crap. You can't, it's hard to do. The self-discipline to work from home is great. You have to have it, or you're not going to work intelligently from home. Please, I don't want to hear that intelligently from home. I think 9% of you can work intelligently from home. And I think Pima County employees, some of these bureaucrats. Here's the other interesting question about, I might even get to my second one. What are we missing here? What has happened? Remember Chuck Huckleberry said, what, 30% of his employees are non-essential? Like, that was one of his quotes 30%. About a month ago, mm-hmm. right? What are we missing?
70%.
What right, are they doing? But, so what benefits are we missing as a populace that the city of Tucson is still at home, their employees through June 8th? What are we missing? Right? So who are we missing? So we know we don't have, the cops are working, but there's not enough of them. Okay. So I guess we're missing what? Parks and Rec? Right? Some of the kids that do Parks and Rec stuff. Okay, I got that. I guess we're going to miss people that are there to delay businesses opening up and trying to get their plans approved. I guess we're doing that, right?
Don't know which part. No, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I guess the question is, as a society in the city of Tucson, have you missed the employees not being working at the city of Tucson or the county? That's a question that needs to be asked. Because what Pima County's probably proving here is that they really don't need 30% of their employees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would say, oh, if they did that, right, and somehow they were going to, what, reinvest it into roads, Chris, and that kind of junk? I don't know about that either. But let's get to this other snarky letter to the editor. This is for Ed. Ed, how long have you been mostly, if not consistently, a season ticket holder for U of A football?
Since the 70s.
Okay. This is from Kent Unwin from the East Side.
Mm.
U of A football should have no trouble with social distancing this fall if and when they field another losing team. Top recruits don't want to come to Tucson for a team that doesn't go to quality bowl games and doesn't win conference championships. Season ticket holders have to pay a king's ransom to save their beloved seats, and then they have to fork over more folding money to buy the season ticket. Social distancing will be super easy. With fewer fans coming to the game, seats can be sold in every other row and the two empty seats between people. If two fans are from the same household, they can sit next to each other with prior permission if wearing a mask. Unquote.
Yeah, we've talked about that because it's due. It's time to pay up.
Are you? Did they send you your...
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
They've got three different plans or something like that now. You can put 25% down and then wait to see what happens and then da-da-da-da-da. They're trying to figure out how they're going to get money out of people and how they're going to keep the claws in you. And so far, we're just waiting to see what happens because we don't know when it's going to be, how it's going to be, who you're going to play. It just... So, they're hurting. They're scared. And the same for basketball, too, because they don't know how they're going to get those people in there.
Oh, it'll happen.
Oh, I know. They'll make it. That's why I keep saying it's about money, folks. They will make it happen. The hell with social distancing. The hell with health. It's about money. It's the University of Arizona, and it's all about money. So don't worry about it. There'll be something or other, and they'll find a way to get your money. Yeah. Come on. Wake up, Tucson.
Brian Brennan from KGun9 has got a special story for you coming up next. This could be an Edward R. Murrow winner coming up. Wake up. Oh, actually, Dan Shear is coming up. Then we'll do a Brian Brennan. I'm okay. I'll do a radio show one day. All right. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. This hour brought to you by Cabco AZ Central Arizona Block. Three great locations, Wetmore, Valencia, and what's that town over there south of Benson?
Sierra Vista. Look at that. I turned it on and it goes off. That's weird. Sierra Vista.
Did you bring back the East German button? Is that what you did? I don't know. Woof. Let's go right to the phones. We got our good friend Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. Daniel Sun, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Going to be a hot one this week.
Look at you. You're like,
well,
you're like
brought him in for that, huh? Yeah. This is it. Okay. Breaking news.
Can I call myself a meteorologist?
I was going to say, you sound like a local weather person. Oh, hey, now, I've got a news break for you. It's the last week of May.
Yep,
it's going to be a little hot.
I can read, so I could do that job. Yeah, so I'm sorry. That was nasty.
The last time we talked, Pima County was doing a little do-si-do with restaurant regulations, and then they modified them the next day. So you guys have done some, I think, the best reporting on this story. Give me your take of what happened on Thursday.
No, I think they had their third or fourth version of it, and they backed off on two of the requirements. So what we have is that the state said, okay, restaurants can open, and here are the rules. And Pima County came alongside and said, okay, you're open, but here are more rules. And that is the sticking point, is are they allowed to impose more rules than the state does? And they certainly believe they can. So they came back on Thursday, and they had a lot of extra feedback from restaurateurs who said, yeah, these things are gonna crush us. So they killed off a couple of the rules. So now what they have is 15 rules. 13 of those are now in county code, and two of them are recommendations, and they dropped two others. And then hanging over their head was a state investigation of whether they had overstepped their boundaries. And they, on Friday, I think it was Friday, answered the state's inquiry about this with a 9-page letter. And if you get a hold of that letter, you can just skip to the bottom, because it has the two arguments from the county, which are, in my estimation, pretty a little bit shaky. And what those arguments pretty much say is that, look, counties have been allowed to be autonomous in these areas, health, public health situations in the past, and that it is our job running the health department to make sure that people are okay. And so we think that we should be able to do this. And besides, we really didn't go beyond what the state wants. We just kind of took what they were suggesting and enhanced it, which is just kind of fun with words. So that now is back at the Attorney General's office, and we'll see what they do with it.
Well, so, I mean, that enhanced thing is it's such a weak piece of crap, because you could apply that to anything, right? If you want more serious, like, you know, on guns or something like that, right? Like, the state doesn't go far enough, so we're just going to enhance what they say about gun possession or something like that. It doesn't make sense to most people.
Right, and I'll give you an example where the state said, you know, you have to make sure that there's social distancing, and then the county came along and said, okay, 50% occupancy, or you can't have people who are waiting for a table being in the same area, or these types of things. And a lot of those got really onerous, to the point of one of the regulations that was tossed out was that everybody would have to have a reservation. So now if you look at all of your eateries even down to fast food, isn't this getting a little ridiculous? And so I will say that the closer people were reading this, the more I was hearing from people is that, you know, the county just wants to make it as miserable an experience as possible to go out to eat, so that nobody goes out to eat. Now, I don't think the county is in the business of tanking its own, tax collections and putting people in awful financial situations, meaning business owners. But I do think that they believe it's very important that people maybe think twice before going out, and that maybe the state moved a little quickly. So I can understand those criticisms. I'm not sure that I buy them all, but I certainly understand why people would feel like the county is just trying to make it an awful experience. So we'll see where this ends up. It's in the state's hands now, and we'll go from there.
The I always like to say, you know, we had the discussion in this community about the City of Tucson snitch line that they have, their little website,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
then my question was, what other communities are doing this? And it was really hard to find other communities in Arizona that were doing similar stuff, right? And then, you know, the city said, oh, it's because we're getting so many calls to 911 or whatever. Okay. And then I was like, but what makes this community so special that we're doing all of these extra snitch calls that maybe these other communities? So I asked you, Dan Shearer, on this case, what other Arizona communities tried to do the same thing? Counties tried to do the same thing Pima County has. Have you seen any of them?
I haven't seen anything like this. We, of course, are the second largest county in the state, and Maricopa is pretty much with the governor on this and letting things kind of move forward as they will. And I'm sure that they have some of their detractors, but those are the people who are going to just stay at home. And so that's a good question, why Pima County would kind of rise up to this. But they clearly believe that the governor acted too soon, and then when he did, it wasn't strong enough. Maybe the reopening is a little too quick, or we just need more time. But I tell you, over the last month, all we've been hearing is we need two more weeks. And so I think some people get a little tired of that. And I think it was last Wednesday we had our Ross Dress for Less reopen here, and it's right outside the door of the office. And I'm telling you, they had 100 people in line outside there. I counted. And they were eager to get back to this shopping. And these are all people who made a choice and that they would go do this. And I would bet that there were 100 more who weren't there because they didn't feel comfortable, which is perfectly fine. So, and then Ross was doing some very responsible things in there to make sure that people were not too many people in the store and some social distancing. Okay, that all has to happen, and that's a good thing. So, but the people in line were there because they wanted to be or had a need to be, and that's the point at which I believe our governor thinks we are, is that, okay, we're going to open these things, and you want to go, you go. You're uncomfortable, don't go.
It can't be as weird as the Republicans run Maricopa County and Democrats run Pima County, and one decided to. It can't be that petty, can it, Dan Shearer?
Well, you said simple, and then you said petty. And those are two real different things. You're trying to rope me in here. As someone who grew up in Maricopa County and came down here, you know, a decade ago, it is a different world. It is really a different world. And in some areas, I really appreciate the care and thought that Pima County puts into things, and that there is much more back and forth and arguing, quite honestly. Some of that is really, really healthy stuff, because you want to make sure that lots of voices are heard and that we're really heading the same way on things, and that everybody's been considered. At some point, and Pima County tends to hit this a lot, it just becomes ridiculous. It's like, okay, we elected you, here's the information, we've had people now have been able to weigh in on this four times in public meetings, can you make a decision? And this is the strange thing we've gotten into with these regulations for restaurants, is that, again, it's they presented them, I think the first one was May 13th, and then time and time and time again, they now have revised them. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I thought you had this blue ribbon task force that hammered through all of the potential issues here. How come this is now, it looked like A, and now it looks like B, and then went to C, and then D? I mean, why is this?
Dan, I'm raising my hand. I have an answer for you, because I've been a victim of serving on a Pima County commission.
That was, yeah, I know you have been.
Who knew I was going to say that phrase? I've been a victim of a Pima County commission. And I talked to, we've talked about our good friend Gary Davidson, who's been on the Pima County Bond Committee for years.
Sure.
And that's the poster child of this, right? Is they put together a commission with all of these people, all of the stakeholders, and they had multiple meetings where they heard from all of the other stakeholders on what priorities they would like to see in the Pima County bonds, right? And they came up with a bond package. This group, even with Larry Hecker running the thing, right, came up with, a, I don't know, $400 million package of things that they thought really was going to serve the community. And they spent thousands of dollars on renting rooms and bad cookies and fruit trays and all this stuff and listening to hours and hours. And then what did they do? Huckleberry gets it, throws it in the garbage, and says, oh, here's mine for $1 billion.
Right.
This is just that again.
Right. And I think that that was unfortunate. The other, the whole bonds situation was real unfortunate. And months before that vote, we had called each supervisor and said, roughly what could you support? And it was all between $300 and $400 million, which is probably palatable to the taxpayer. And then the next thing you know, it's over $800 million with an extra $200 thrown in at the last minute for roads just to pacify people because they sensed maybe it wasn't going to go through. And this thing went down in flames, which was extraordinarily notable for this county. So that and the Klepsi Committee of a couple years
right.
ago, which was just a absolute surreal experience, where you get people on this law enforcement commission who through social media have flat out said they hate law enforcement. Are you kidding me? That at that point, Pima County becomes a total joke, and Maricopa County, where all the power and the people are, they turn their back. And I have always feared that moment, and in my time here, it has happened several times.
Again, they should put a sign up before you walk into any commission you volunteer for at Pima County. Please come in. Your recommendations will be ignored. Please excuse Huckleberry's footprint on the back of your head. That's just so you know right off the bat. And so the restaurateurs, you learn the lessons of Christy Simone, Gary Davidson, and anyone else who's ever volunteered for a Pima County Commission. You're a prop.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm watching these people come forward during these meetings as they're revising these regulations, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. That's a great point. Why wasn't that addressed? Why was this addressed? Why was that not? I mean, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, somebody missed a memo somewhere, or else the deck was stacked, or people had their arms twisted behind their back. I don't know, but what they came up with was clearly not what the restaurant community felt comfortable with. And so, and then again, looming over this that nobody talked about for a couple of meetings, and then Steve Christie brought it up, and with force, was the fact that, oh, by the way, the state's going after us for overstepping the boundary, and they're right. And Steve Christie said flat out, I hope the state attorney general wins this one, because we should not be imposing these extra regulations on businesses.
All right, Dan, I'm going to put you on hold for 2 seconds. So I want to talk about your acts of kindness stories you're doing in the paper. I think they're really cool.
Sure.
So we're going to come back. Before you hit the music, Ed, real quick, I want to get Dan off the air, so I want to keep him out of this. So I did notice that a lot of people have told me, people who were in those meetings, that Regina Romero was really pushing the whole let the county do this whole thing with the health code. It was mentioned in the meeting that, you know, this is a way to get around Ducey if we do the health code. I just want to tell you the timing of this. Right before this really hit, right? Maybe Ramon Valadez was vacillating a little bit. Maybe he didn't want to go this far, right? And then what I'm thinking is the Grijalvas might have gave him the old, you know, we have Matt Hines is running against you. And maybe if you don't play ball with us, right? We're gonna endorse him over you.
Put our money behind him.
Right? And then I'm just telling you, in the middle of the month, right before they started really getting serious with this, we now have Grijalva May 15th, right? We have Ann Kirkpatrick on May 18th. We have Victoria Steele. Oh, sorry, Regina on May 20th finally got on board the Ramon train, and then Victoria Steele the next day. So I'm just telling you, it just looks the timing that all the endorsements from the Grijalvaites came in for Ramon Valadez during the attack on the restaurants.
Ooh.
I'm just saying, I'm sure nothing's connected. I'm sure it's all coincidence.
See what you're saying.
Radar would never fold like that. Right, Radar?
It's all about the money. and the politics.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice.
And the power.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. We're catching up with Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News, Sarita Sun. Hey, what's going on with Dairy Queen down there? I'm worried about them on this COVID thing.
They're busy. I went there the other day, and I bet there were 15 cars in line. And
look at that.
They're quick, and they're loving this. You know.
So my wife did go to Ross in Oral Valley when it opened. She said it was like Black Friday.
She's exactly right. She could have been down here at this one. It was the same way. It's nice at night when it's dark outside and the lights are on in there. And just imagine like handbags and shoes and jeans just kind of flying up and people are, you know, roughing up each other trying to get to those clothes. And I thought, geesh, I didn't know we were shut down that long, but people missed being normal, and that's what that whole thing said to me. And I talked to a few people in line there, and most of them were younger people, and that place also is extraordinarily popular, at least ours is, with Mexico. They hit White Elephant, which is still not open, and then they go there, and then they head to Tucson, and so this was fun. This was just a lot of fun for people.
I asked my wife to give me a kind of a demographic breakdown of, you know, what was in there, and she said at least 50-60% were over the age of 60. So they're...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The Saddlebrookers and the Sun Cityers, they're not trapping themselves in their house.
No. I don't think our crowd was quite that old, but I did see one wheelchair. So,
oh, see? Thank you.
Yeah. So it happens.
Tell me about your acts of kindness series you guys have been kind of covering. Gives us a little, instead of just, you know, everyone, the classic, you know, Arizona Daily Star stuff of everyone's dying every 3 seconds. I like this acts of kindness. Tell me more.
Well, we needed a break, and we needed a break from the hard news and the numbers and this and the fear. And we noticed that people around town were doing nice things for each other, and some of them were very simple acts, and some of them were much more involved. For example, we had a guy who was turning 100. His family had been planning a big party for months for him, and of course that didn't happen. So they turned it into a big parade with fire engines and police cars and that type of stuff. We had another situation where a couple was moving away, and normally they would have had a party and everybody would have been able to, you know, kisses and hugs and all that. Instead, they did a big parade in front of their house. Even our Justice of the Peace, Ray Carroll, you know, a lot of people are not doing weddings right now, and he did do a wedding for a guy who's in the military and his fiance, and took him out to the middle of the field, and you can see all the family in the background, social distancing, of course, and performed the ceremony for them. And so there's just lots of little things going on out there. I heard from a woman yesterday who said, you know, we take these signs and we stand outside care homes and we talk to the people through the windows, and we just kind of brighten their day. And there's always a man who lives there who comes to the door every single time we're there, and he sings to us. And so there's these little moments that we're capturing where people are just being nice to each other. We have a school that raises onions for fundraisers, and then of course now there's really no place to sell them. They dug them all up and gave them to the food bank. So lots and lots of these little stories that we thought, you know what, whenever we get a bunch of them, we're just going to throw them in the paper, call them acts of kindness, and they have been a huge hit. If this were all your newspaper was, then you're missing the boat. But likewise, if all you're doing is reporting the negative stuff, you're missing the boat too, because there's lots of wonderful things going on, and we're discovering who we are through this whole pandemic.
As David Carradine would say in Kung Fu, balance, grasshopper, balance.
There we go. So this helps us find it, and there are some people who probably read that stuff and skip the rest of the paper for a while and then come back when they've girded themselves. But it's important that you capture all aspects of a community, and there have been some good efforts in our papers and in other papers, and I'm really glad to see that balance. Very important.
Dan Shearer, thanks for the good work you and George and the whole crew are doing down there. So thank you. Keep doing it.
Appreciate it. Thank you much.
Have a nice day.
Thanks.
That's Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, probably the best guy doing that right now in the state.
Doing good work. I go check on that just almost every day, and there's interesting stories. There's, you know, stories of human interest, and there's also hard stories.
As someone says, they've emailed. I get this email every 6 months about Dan Shearer. I've been listening to Dan on your show for several years, but I have no idea what party he belongs to.
That's the point.
Right?
That's the point. Why do you care?
Where when you listen to Timmy Boy or Dylan, you know exactly what party they belong to. Real quick before we go to break, Allie Miller has come out to endorse Eric Rudin for Congress. That came out yesterday, and she said, I've watched Eric since he first announced his candidacy. He's the strongest, most conservative choice in the race for CD2 congressional race. He's impressed me with his work ethic and acumen, as well as his strong background in business. Taking back this seat from Ann Kirkpatrick is very important for the people of Southern Arizona, and Eric Rudin is our best chance of seeing it happen, unquote. So, I know a lot of you hopped on the Brandon train because she endorsed him the first time, but now she has endorsed Eric Rudin as the best choice in CD2. When we come back, Mike Zinkin, former Oral Valley Town Council being, he's going to be spicy. This will be a spicy tamale. And then after that, bottom of the hour, let's look at the Brian Brennan and strippers. Okay. Oh, I just blew that whole story. But I got to get to the you're probably not going to die from COVID numbers, which I'll get in trouble from, I'm sure.